And along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world needs to hear the truth.
The Church of Mavis Radio. It's Saturday night, and we're back at you live from Florida and various other locations across the earth. It was been warm in Florida, and then I woke up this morning. It was cold. It wasn't like freezing, but it was cold. I was like, wow, it's freaking cold. It's weird when you go in Florida, you go from warm to cold so many times. Like, it's just nonstop, especially during the spring or early spring and spring. But I prefer the cold, so I guess I'm in the wrong location, but that's where I was cast down to. Briefly, guests coming up. Well, tonight's Chief Thunder White Cloud, and we're going to be getting into quantum mechanics, and he's very familiar with, and we're also going to get into Dr. Fred Bell, and we'll get into that later. But first, I just want to read off the rest of the guests for this month. Next week is Ken Gerhard, and we're going to be talking about winged creatures, Mothman. He's got a new book coming out by Little One, and it's basically a whole compendium on weird winged creature sightings. So a friend of mine named Blaze is going to be co-hosting, and he has a band, and he may co-host in the future, but he kind of just, he's a friend of mine, and said that he'd always want to, you know, be on a radio show, and I was like, well, why don't you do one with me? So here we go. He plays guitar and is real good at it. He may be doing a new commercial and theme song soon for us, so he'll be there next Saturday. And then we got Beelzebub coming back on the 20th and 27th. I know many of you have been requesting the Beelzebub. Where's he at? Some private paranormal investigations. He'll be back the 20th with Kevin Randall. Former military, we'll be getting into the UFO scene with that on the 20th, and then on the 27th is Jamie Avalos, Jerry's brother. I'm just kidding. But he's a Sasquatch dude, so we'll be getting into Sasquatch on the 27th. And after that, just briefly, Dr. Rita Lewis, she's been scheduled for a while. Saw she was on Mind Cemetery. We're going to have her on again. I usually try to avoid booking people more than when I see another show doing them, but I don't care. I'm just going to let her come on anyway and scramble up, and each interview is usually different in its own way, so I'm going to have her on anyway. 11th, Casey Brown, Sasquatch Hunters. 18th, Ken Bakeman. I believe Joe's interviewed him a long time ago about reptilians, and then hopefully got Nick Clifford scheduled, so hopefully everything's good to go for May. What else? Oh, I caught Hannibal this week, that new show. That thing was amazing for television. NBC's really jumping the game up there. It was something like you would expect to see on Showtime or HBO, but it's basically Hannibal Lecter, a show based around him before Red Dragon. If anybody's familiar with the Thomas Harris books, I am, of course, I've read them all, but Hannibal really surprised me. It was definitely a lot of weirdness in it, and strange. Definitely worth checking out. Another good one I've been catching is Bates Motel, which is about Norman Bates' childhood. Another one, both getting rave reviews, some darker television shows, but I'm a Capricorn. I like that. So just some highlights into my television viewing, and what else? Oh, there's one book I wanted to mention before we started the interview. I've been reading Michael Harner's new book, Cave and Cosmos, Shamanic Encounters with Spirits and Heavens. And Michael Harner, I believe the last time he wrote a book was like, 30 years ago, and it was called The Way of the Shaman. It was one of the first shaman-type books that I crossed as a white dude in Georgia. Well, I have some Cherokee in my family, and French and Irish and alien and vampire. But other than that, I got this book from the publishers, and it's his new book, and it's excellent. He's 83 now, so he couldn't do the show, but I've been plugging his book wherever I can, and I have to say, if you're into, if you're familiar with him, pick it up. It's excellent. Like, I've only started to read like the half of it so far, but it's one of those, page turners that definitely, shifts your consciousness reading it with some of the stuff he goes into in there. But, we got Jerry with us tonight. Jerry Avalos, are you there?
Indeed I am.
What are you doing? How was the conference?
Oh, it's amazing, really. Actually, it's really pretty cool. Not quite as big as the 2011 Lake and Aware, but intimate and, you know, a good crowd. I mean, it's actually kind of that point where it's not too claustrophobic, but you're not, like, alone in the hallways. You know, there's a lot of people talking about different things, a lot of really cool vendors. It's been going smooth. It's really, really a neat time so far, and always interesting information being shared whenever you got a Camelot production going on. And so it's pretty cool to take a little time out here actually in the room while getting, you know, the relative quiet. Everyone is pretty much left me now over here. So as opposed to the world of energies and information downstairs. So it's been really cool, though.
Nice.
So, and there's a live stream going on right now for those who, actually I'm not sure, I think anyway, it'll be tomorrow too. If you miss it, there'll be pay-per-view later for the archives, but, yeah, it's going on this weekend, so in the LA area, if you want to come and crash the, Lake and Aware, Project Camelot thing, feel free. I'm going to be here, hanging out. That's a cool thing. A lot of the speakers are just hanging out in the hallways, so good chance to get one-on-one, too, which is really neat. So, and been really cool. And if the internet was a little more stable, I'd be on a better connection. You'd be able to hear me a little better, and I'd probably be uploading more pictures. But, so...
It's not too bad. It's not too
okay,
bad.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Thunder, let's start the fireworks here. I guess, Thunder, if you could tell us a bit about your backgrounds and kind of like your origin story that kind of leads up to the technology that you're involved in, just to refresh our listeners, let them know who you are and where you came from, and, you know, just, your bio, so to speak, before we really get into the, you know, everything more deeply.
Well, thank you, Jerry. My bio is kind of unique because there's about 10 years that not a lot can be really shown. That was where I was, you know, really sitting in back and doing the research and development aspect of what we have now. But prior to that, I mean, basically I'm a farm kid from the Midwest. Grew up on a ranch out in Iowa where we raised pigs and cattle. I was an FFA president of the school, and I did stuff like that. I was really targeted or really driven as an early child to inherit the family farm and simply farm. But strange as it is, I chose a different path, went to college, and I studied satellite communication engineering right at the... I put it this way, I don't suffer from analog anxiety. We kind of, right at the digital jump there in the mid-80s, I was studying the satellite comm systems. I went to work at Hughes Electronics, MCI, and then later went into Center of Reverse Engineering, where I worked in the exotic technology field and built and looked at different things from Russia, Japan, and Germany. As an efficiency expert, I created a consulting company, which was my think tank, and I didn't get a FDA approval on liquid nicotine, so I created one in a hologram format to deliver the energy. It wasn't a grand success because my arm went numb and I started to have chest pains, and realized that the neurons of my brain were telling my heart that I had just smoked a 200-pound cigarette going into cardiac arrest. So the energetic, bioenergetic system that I is basically the Moscow Cosmonaut Medical Space Program. What we did is I utilized that to bring myself back to state, and then made a big note that I can't build a toxin. It will kill me in the lab. Toxin work and research. And for the last 10 years, Palladium Labs, I have been formulating algorithms in a multidimensional vortex, which we can go over later, that simply have the availability to send a text message directly to your phone. There's about 5.6 billion of them worldwide. And when the text message image comes in, you can hold it next to your gas tank on your automobile or a 18-wheeler semi. And within 5 minutes, you will see no pollution from the exhaust system. What we've done is we took a look at all of the toxicity that was inside gasoline, and I found about 78 trace toxins in unleaded, some 84 in diesel, and created a neutralization frequency. It's monatomic movement, so to speak. It's equivalent. So if carbon monoxide has a 100 omega frequency, we simply create a negative 100 omega frequency to kind of balance that. And the toxin, when it hits the piston, implodes. We get a 100% burn rate with no pollution. I'm proud to say that we set the world record. In the 32 years of research or of testing in emissions reduction, nothing has been greater than 2%. We at the EPA California Environmental Engineering Lab set a precedence by starting at a hologram sticker on a gas tank, and in 5 minutes dropped it 40%. We can now send that via text message directly to any phone, and in 5 minutes, on your show here tonight, this is where we got a 5-minute call with your viewers. In 5 minutes, we can stop pollution.
So basically, it's a symbol, and then how does the quantum mechanics fit into it? Is it a part of it your perspective on what you believe that a symbol is going to do, or is it just a symbol that invokes it, or is it all of the above?
Actually, none of those. What it is a two-dimensional text JPEG or a small video. Loop, nothing more. Nothing that isn't already being sent across our existing network via text message. We can send words, we can send pictures, we can send small videos. Okay. When the pictures or the videos arrive, they are in 2D state. Photographs are in two dimensions. Well, what we've done is we've created a vortex that can allow quantum tunneling to occur the moment that the message arrives to your phone. The image is in 2D, but uniquely, we have been able to attach a fourth dimensional resonant vibration code that emits about 8 inches in and around, like a sphere, completely around the cell phone image as it's or the screen as it's being shown, and hold that within 8 inches of your gas tank, and all the pollution's gone.
So what is exactly that's causing the pollution to be dispelled? I mean, I'm trying to let our listeners understand. Basically, to summarize from the Georgia boy of me, he has these pictures, or like you said, they're kind of hologram, or different types of pictures. And, for instance, you could get one sent to your text, and it'll help you with your gas mileage. There's another one that protects you from EMF frequencies. And there's, I mean, there's how many different ones do you have of these things? There's like thousands, aren't they, or less than that, or you have a lot of different ones with different abilities, right?
Well, my current, and this is what I've been doing. My research is for 10 years, I've been writing algorithm codes and creating what I refer to as, this isn't sci-fi, because it's real and happening. And I'm not a theoretical physicist. I'm simply an applied scientist. I only build things that do. I don't really have a reason to sit around and think about why it works. So what we're doing is, how do I say, the quantum mechanics aspect is the unique ability for the vibrational state to saturate through the gas tank itself and attach itself to the gasoline. That little signal is about 8 inches. So this Wi-Fi ingredient, we have over 18,149 in my current catalog.
And they're all for different scenarios. What's some examples that of different ones besides the gas mileage? Like, I know you did some with me, and I definitely noticed, the ones that you experimented with me, a change in energy in the room. Like, you did the one that's supposed to bring your house temperature to 72, and you're talking about these thermometers and stuff. I started to see in my mind's eye these thermometers on the wall, and there was the one with the juice and changing the ions or to a more positive state of being, and then of course the EMF frequency. But what are some other ones besides that are popular that you could talk about, just to give some more examples?
This is where we're currently at. This is awesome stuff, because like I said, this isn't sci-fi. This is things that we've developed, tested. We went out and had independent labs validate our technology, and we set world records. So some of the best ones that I personally, my all-time favorite is the one that you talked about for, I call it thermal sound. And what thermal sound is a very unique frequency, because it can change the temperature in your room. And what it's doing is when you hold your phone next to, the window, what happens is that it adds like a 4-foot invisible pink insulation around your house. So the amount of insulation on a hot or cold day is going to change the temperature in that room. Now, I tested this up at a casino in Las Vegas. We spent about 30 minutes. We walked around two floors up, two floors underground, and we took baseline readings of the walls, the floors, the ceilings, and in particular the vents. And now it was interesting because, like, the rooms next to the elevator, the temperature at the vents was 62 degrees. But as you got further down the hall, it was 68 to 70. So the temperature in the air conditioning vents were colder and, of course, get warmer as travel away. Well, we had the baselines. We had them all written down. I said, okay, I went across the street because the moment I walked into the building, I had it attached to one of their poker chips and tossed it on the ground. In 4 minutes, we reduced the entire casino 12 degrees.
Hmm.
I actually did that same, that was actually when I did George Noyes' show. I had George do, I did a side-by-side test with George where we took two glasses of water side-by-side, and I sent him a mail that packages had one hologram and two digital thermometers. Instructions, add to 8 ounces of water, 8 ice cubes. Simple. So we started the experiment at the top of the show. I said, George, what is the temperature of both of those glasses right now? They're both at 38 degrees. Okay. We'll let them sit there for a while and we'll come back to that. Both at 38. As they should be. Now, 10 minutes into the show, he checks it again. The chip, the hologram on the glass was showing 43 degrees. The one without was showing 62. That's quite a unique anomaly because two glasses of water should be the exact same temperature.
It's definitely a big jump there, for sure. So I'm curious, Jerry, what do you think about all this? And have you had some experiences with the technology yourself?
Well, it's interesting just seeing it actually work. And then now Gunnar and I being working closer together for a relatively short time here, I had a chance to demo a couple of different of the chips, both the steel chip and the thermal sound chips. One of the fun demos just to show real quick is with the thermal, one of the common ways to test insulation on windows, those out there who do home repair conference, you will know about this, so you can test with the flame with a lighter by taking the wire to the window, and you'll see usually on regular single sheet of glass, doubles, sit on both sides, you'll see two flames, two tips, pretty easily. With these little holograms, or the text message, or the wallpaper version, you hold back to that same window, and you'll start seeing more flame tips start appearing, and then you'll see four of them, and then you'll start seeing more flames start falling behind it, like these kind of fan reflections. The cool thing is, I don't know, I did this recently, in Yosemite over here in California, and it was probably good 40-something degrees out there, a little 40 degrees out there, and had some friends visiting from the far up north, and they're familiar with this technique, and so when I showed them, it's like, whoa, that's just amazing, because you're literally seeing this hyper-dimensional energy, you can say, manifest in the spectral bandwidth of reality, and that one's just so fun because you can kind of do it whatever, even if you don't have a laser thermometer, all you need is a lighter, and so it's kind of because, how Thunder was saying, it's not sci-fi, it's Wi-Fi, but at the same time, those of us who pretty much are honestly privileged enough to run around with these things to do this, it's like they're like a magician, kind of sparking, wonder in people again. It's like, yes, this is real. It's really happening. We can really clean the air. We can really, do these things. Sure it is. And the science is kind of funky. It's applied quantum science. I mean, that's one of the things, even if you check out online, MIT's free courses on quantum science and quantum mechanics, they pretty much say everything you learn in regular conventional physics, just get rid of it because it's not really going to apply very much at this point. So this is kind of where those right angle turns metaphorically come in with the quantum application of how you specifically treat, you know, gas. You know, that's one of the things that obviously has gotten down and mastered. You know? So it's really impressive and really nice to see in person.
You know, Jerry had a chip the other day. He was complaining he couldn't get it to work. And I was like, well, let's see, is there any way we can know if it's, you know, the right chip or it's on or not? I said, well, come on. So I grabbed his thermometer. I went outside to his car because he couldn't get his studio to cool. We were trying to, you know, cool his studio with all the lamps and lights and computers in there. It's a lot of heat. So we're taking some heat out of there, and, you know, he wasn't seeing results. Turns out I sent him a battery boost instead of a thermal, and that was my mistake. So I got over there, and I said, well, let's just go out and look at it on your car. So we took the thermal insulation gun and pointed it at, or the thermometer at the windshield, and it was 107 degrees. So he walked over, and he put the seal on the window. The temperature did not change. I said, okay, yeah, these probably aren't thermals. I might have made them, just some samples that I had laying around. I didn't label these, and I grabbed the wrong one. So I pulled out my phone, and I laid it on the windshield of his car. And we went from 107 degrees to 102 degrees, and maybe a minute, wasn't Jerry? Maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was pretty quick. It dropped pretty quick.
Yeah, it spiked up right away. What is going to happen is that when you apply this to the window, it becomes the coolest place in the building all of a sudden, and all of the heat is then drawn to it, where it is then dispersed outside. So the windshield, I think, went from 107 up to 110, and then when it hit peak, it starts to drop and steadied out. I know we took off and went inside. Then we go inside after the temperature on the gun was down to 102, wasn't it? It only dropped 3 degrees, but the fact that there was a change.
It was there for like 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. Yeah, so exactly. It wasn't like we did like an extensive test on it.
And like Jerry was saying, well, the way to find out if they work or not is simply hold the cigarette lighter next to, or a candle next to the glass. And you can count the flame tips. When you put our technology next to the glass, all of a sudden more flame tips will reflect in the window. And then the laser thermometer starts to decrease in numbers. Well, something is happening. So that's really my real favorite, personally, my real favorite of all my technologies that I put together. I created it out of need. We need portable insulation to fill some of our inferior manufacturing engineering. We got windows that are crap in the United States. Our values are under 5. You're lucky to get a 3. Germans, they make above 10. So I created 75, I think it is. What it is the spaceship, I pulled the safety from the spaceship, which is really inferior. The heat reflective alloy that they tell you, or in Columbia's case, it's good that they can't have a problem. Well, here we go, Pete, wouldn't that be a great thing to have on the air? The other thing is aerogel. Aerogel is the whitest, really weird stuff. It's the whitest stuff in the world. It kind of looks like a block of smoke.
There's some bad static right now. I don't know if it's somebody's phone or what it is, but
that was me or his connection. It's kind of interesting though.
Is that better?
Yeah. You're on landline. That was a landline getting distorted.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Okay.
Let's turn the volume up. So does that help?
Yeah, that's better. That's a lot better.
Okay.
But, one way that I ran across you, Thunder, is I saw a picture of you standing next to Fred Bell on Jerry's profile, and I said, first off, I was not all that familiar with Fred Bell until later researching him. I learned a lot more about him. But I had originally seen him on the Def Ray episode of Conspiracy Theory, and the one where, you know, they get into the Def Ray and all that. And during it, I guess the filming of it, he passes away from a heart attack, and that just really disturbed me. Between that episode and the Brain Invaders, which is about the Gwin Tower shooting freaking EMF microwave rays at you, those two episodes really kind of worked me over there. But I saw him standing next to you, and at the time, because I have a very bad memory due to drug use in the late 90s or early 90s, I realized that's the guy from Conspiracy Theory that, you know, passed away. And that's when I asked Jerry, you know, about you and learn more. And that's pretty much was my gateway into, you know, meeting you and everything. But I guess I want to get into the background, because I titled this show Dr. Fred Bell in Memoriam, kind of like a tribute kind of part of the show for him, because I know he's a friend of yours, and also from what else I've learned from him and about him, I'm sure it's nothing compared, you know, but definitely seems like someone that's contributed a lot, you know, beforehand. And I guess my first question is, could you get into, you said that he was he mentored you. How did that fit into everything? How did you guys meet? And I also want to know what your opinion is on that episode. And, I mean, do you think that someone, you know, took his life because of that show? Or what's your whole perspective on that?
The late, I'll use a term that pales in comparison to what he is. The late great Dr. Fred Bell was my intellectual inspiration and just a major turning point in my life. Because I looked at his first book, Rays of Truth and Crystals of Light, and I had never seen a scientific book with more technology in it than this is the most advanced science book ever. Ever. I was like, wow, this guy is amazing who wrote this thing. And really didn't know much about the guy. I read his book Back to Front. Yeah, I read Zeta A when I reverse engineer. And I pulled his book apart, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. I read backwards, chapter, because well, the back stuff was really exciting, and the front stuff was nutrition, herbs, vitamins, and stuff that I'm more of a Taco Bell eater than a raw fooder like I am today. So that had a small interest in my being exposed to Dr. Fred Bell. I met Dr. Fred Bell. The picture that you're looking at, yeah. That was for his book, The Inside Track. And I stopped by at the Conscious Life Expo, and him and the other great, Moni Vitale, was next door in their booth. So you'll see me standing there with Fred, and I asked him to simply autograph his book and admired his work, and then let him know what I was doing. And at the time, he invited me to join his Q research team. Why? This is my intellectual inspirational idol. It's a dream come true. But I declined because I explained to Fred that we had moved much further than what Paradigm was working on, and yet they were one of the world's most advanced laboratories. And I didn't see much of a need for me to... It was kind of like when Tesla sat down with... Edison, and they became partners. It really shouldn't have ever tried. So for that reason, I declined Dr. Fred Bell's offer and continued my research. Was I disturbed to hear he died? I was confused, to be honest with you. So, suspect foul play? No, you know, we live in a world where things are possible, but they're absolutely possible. And if somebody took Dr. Fred Bell out, shame on you. Shame.
Yes to them. Yeah.
On you.
I mean, it definitely happened during that episode. He was one that brought the information to Jesse Ventura about the whole, you know, to start the whole show pretty much. Just weird. I mean, it could have been a coincidence. I mean, maybe, you know, it was just a heart attack, but they tried to make it seem like it was a little possibly, they were talking about this technology, this little box that could cause it, and they're definitely leaning towards trying to make it seem like that's what happened, but I don't know. It was just definitely, I'd never seen someone really, you know, pass away during an episode of anything. You know?
Well, that's something with that, because we had Dr. Fred Bell, but then also Gordon Noble, too, died during that whole season.
Another good friend of mine.
Exactly.
Gordon
Noble, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he just passed away, didn't he?
He did.
And once again, shortly after the taping of the Conspiracy Theory show, it's like, once again, damn, happened. So it was two of them, same season. You know, and then, of course, you have this, you know, inexplicable connection with Thunder here, too, relating to all, you know, kind of far out there technologies. Because if those aren't familiar with Gordon's work, yeah, I guess you can call him an intelligence guy. So he let slip some stuff here and there, including on Project Camelot interview. I think he did one, maybe two on there. So he had his hands in just about all things exotic, I guess you should say. And
was Gordon Noble tied in Conspiracy Theory episode? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was on one of the Conspiracy Theory episodes.
Which one? Do you remember?
I can't remember exactly, but I want to say it might have been the one right before the big one.
That was like Reptilians or something, wasn't it?
I'm not sure what was, okay. But either way, you know, especially Gordon being one of the Camelot witnesses, you know, that was something that had to be a statement on, too, on Project Camelot. So it's that was. When we're watching this, and we're watching, okay, now here's another one, and then there's stuff that didn't necessarily make any splash, but, you know, colleagues in the industry. So it's kind of weird, you know, honestly.
Conspiracy Theory canceled now. It had the most listeners ever on any show ever on that stupid True TV channel, which that channel crashed on there. That was like probably the best show on there. It's just crap on there. Police chase videos, and I'm reaping redneck Johnson stuff and with a midget, and just trash. It's funny about Gordon Noble. Wasn't he tied into JFK sometimes? I had an argument with him once. Like, he was some guy, he said something smart to one of my posts, and I didn't even know, never heard of him, and we had, like, some weird fight, and I prank called him as Jack Nicholson, and I didn't know who he was, and it was a long time ago, like years ago, but that's the same guy, which I don't know if I should be ashamed of myself, but nonetheless, I have had a run-in with Gordon Noble, but he did pass away. I heard that from some strange preacher. I forget his name. He sends these emails out, and he's from the UK, and he writes some disturbing stuff, but he mentioned it in one of his emails. I was like, that's that guy I got in a weird argument with, and I did Jack Nicholson impersonations too, which that's what I do when I'm stupid. But he had some kind of JFK tie, didn't he, or something weird?
Let's see, Gordon, if I'm not mistaken, he was hired, he was an independent consultant on Congress for either Watergate or JFK, one of the two, but I think it was Watergate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it was Watergate.
A great friend of mine. Not a good friend, a great friend. I
I can't believe he was tied into a conspiracy theory episode, and he passed away too. My God. That show, they canceled. That show's canceled. It's not coming back. Ventura wrote a big thing cussing about it. It's gone, and that's why. But it was pushing some buttons out there in Spookland, obviously.
Just from what I've seen of True TV, and just to be candid here, yeah, because we, during the conspiracy theory premiere, they actually premiered Project Camelot's pilot on the same TAS on True TV. But so they didn't let us know. They let nobody here know of it. And we thought that pilot had been pretty much put in the round canister because it was almost 2 years old. And then all of a sudden, one of our fans was just like, hey, do you guys know what you're on before the new Ventura? We're like, no. And so, yeah, they put that on there. They got really great considering there was zero promotion from anyone because we didn't know it was on and they didn't do any. We did beat the whole repo wars and everything, and Ventura did better, of course, but it did good. But they're like, oh, the numbers didn't quite produce what we're expecting. And it's like, well, really, with no promotion or time, even letting us know to get our people to watch it, really? You know, there's just kind of stuff like that where it's like, I'm not sure, they don't really want the truth. They want just drama. They want dramatization or something. I don't know what it is. And I don't hear this because it's like they're doing a disservice by calling themselves True TV if they're not really doing that. They're just capitalizing, you know, pretty much.
It's just, it's like the Hillbilly Channel. No offense to Hillbillies, but I've been called a Hillbilly before, so I can make fun of Hillbillies, I guess. But, that's definitely... spooky that, you know, that they were targeting that show. And I know Oliver Stone's son, Sean Stone, I thought the third season was the best season, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know Sean Stone. I know Thunder does. Did he say anything about his feelings on them canceling or anything like that? Have you heard anything from him about the show or anything? It's definitely canceled, right?
Yeah, Sean's looking for another gig. that's the word I got from Sean, that the show has been canceled. Yes, Sean is, again, a really good friend of mine. I'm really impressed with what Oliver Stone has done with his son, Sean. This guy is a Princeton graduate. He's absolutely brilliant. I applaud, his upbringing. More so than anybody can even imagine. This guy is very impressive in my world. So we've been discussing working with Helidium Labs and what his contacts are in the filming industry to offer resonant vibration frequencies coming through your 3D filming. It will be the first ever 5D filming that is shot in production. And then when it's released at the theater, the audio and the screen video will saturate the audience members with, things like health. You can go watch a movie and walk out with your diabetes gone.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It's kind of our new medical direction for DigiMeds. Yeah, we might as well use new movies. If you can get healed, you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, if it's got a... I could see something like that with these this technology. There's definitely documentaries that I've watched be they spiritual or whatever. I just saw a good one about the rainbow serpent on Reality Entertainment. It was basically this Australian guy that traveled the whole 7 points of the earth, the basic chakras of the earth, and met with all these medicine men. And I mean, just watching something like that made my day a better, different day. You know, it put me in a different mode. And I could see how, you know, just watching it, and that doesn't have, you know, it had some stuff in it, but nothing like what we're talking about as far as quantum mechanics and holograms. But I mean, just a movie could shift you. If I watched, Wayne Dyer's a guy that I read a lot of books of his. I've got some documentaries of his, or, you know, Deepak Chopra or somebody like that. There's so many different people, but you can watch something like that. It really puts you in a positive state of mind And I could see, like that being a before kind of situation with some of the, I mean, if a documentary can do that to you, then, you know, imagine, you know, what you're talking about with the film and some of this technology inside of it, and, you know, stuff like that. It's a whole nother plateau, pretty much, you know, when it comes in to film. Definitely, I could see it having an effect on people, just if a normal documentary does, you know, most assuredly. So what do you think about some of this stuff that these elite sociopaths are doing to hurt people? I mean, is there, I know you have that EMF situation, but there are whole companies based on weird clothes and, you know, necklaces and hats that are supposed to protect you from all this stuff. What do you think about all that? I mean, is there a way to protect yourself from foul play when it comes to spookery?
I'd like to probably say that my security detail is so secure I cannot get into details. am I protected? Absolutely. I've taken into consideration that, you know, some people are missing. Like the top 50 biophysicists the last decade. They're just gone. So I kind of made the top, I don't know, three by default.
Yeah.
I went underground to stay alive.
A lot of people are going there. They have that whole missing 411 thing, but there's also, you know, a lot of scientists and who are either getting whacked or go missing. Or I just got a book from Timothy Beckley, Mysterious Disappearances, and it's all about these, like, strange stories of, I think some of them maybe ufologists and stuff who just disappeared, just vanished. Who knows, it could have been Jimmy Hoffa or went to another dimension or God knows, or just went into hiding or whatever. But so does the EMF frequency thing, that's one way, like your technology you showed me, that's probably one way that would help with that sort of situation on some level, right?
In fact, if I may, you're listening to Order One tonight at FringeEnergy.com. The EMF text message system, and the way it works, what I simply did, we had this tested at independent lab that Intertech. They do about, they've done about 5,300 different products over the last decade, attempts for EMF radiation reduction, and to their dismay, that they've never seen anything greater than 2%. And we walked up on our SAR report and scored a 36% on my first try. And then I pointed out their testing method with a mannequin, a Dremel, cut open the skull and filled it with jello gelatin and added a thermometer. That was their indication of how much heat and how much radiation was getting to the skull. I told them that was kind of, I guess you guys, it's very difficult for someone to measure this effect, and nobody had the equipment. And what I pointed out to them is that your brain has equilibrium. That's what, it's kind of like pushing the muscle out of your eyes when you see, or pushing equilibrium out your ears to counterbalance the noise that you're listening to. Well, the same is with EMF. The neurons of your brain are putting out, we're getting hit by millions and millions of different frequencies, okay? Well, the brain, not all of them are dangerous, but there are electromagnetics are, the low ones, sure. And the cell phone towers are using these. And so you got to be able to, and the cell phone towers that are using these, check this out, the bees can't find their way home. So we have something that 5.6 billion cell phones in the world, which in the whole history of mankind, that is the single largest sold item in the world. Cell phones are killing us.
Well, hey, we got to go to break, so if we could, we'll just pick back up when we come back. But the producer's saying we got to go on break, so... everybody, you listen to Church of Mavis Radio. Check us out, churchofmavisradio.com, and on UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And we'll be back in 8 to 10 minutes. So don't freak out. Don't miss us. And fasten your straitjackets because we'll be right back with Thunder White Cloud and Jerry Avalos. See you shortly.
Little black submarines operate a piece, putting me back on the line. Told my girl I'd be back. Operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broke. Broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is
everyone, Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Doesn't necessarily. ceremony and not the leaving of God.
All critics continually found that the military air force is withholding information from the general public on this subject.
Welcome back to the Church of Mavis radio show. Second half, got about 50 minutes left or so. What else? I saw two unique horror paranormal movies that really surprised me. One was recommended by Andy, one of our listeners. He's actually working on an interview about it, but it was called Shadow People, and it has the guy that played Mid or Mitch or whatever on Walking Dead, but he's a paranormal radio show host. And it's weird because it's based on a true story, and yeah, I know lots of horror movies say that, but I believe this one really is, and it shows the footage of the real radio show host, and I think he had something to do with the origins of the whole Shadow People thing, and it gets into that, and it's weird. Another good one, Dark Skies, that was pretty good, but definitely some cliche things on there. But as a ufologist, he's the guy that plays the newspaper editor on Spider-Man. You've probably seen him in lots of stuff, but he plays a ufologist in that movie, and they blame everything on the Greys and make the Greys all seem like they're evil, and it's kind of like, it was still worth watching. I mean, a lot of those movies are trash, but as far as production value, it was pretty good, and it was made by the producers of Insidious and I forget what else, but those two little horror gems I saw recently, both kind of disturbing, hit some triggers. But Dark Skies kind of overdid it though a little bit with the birds slapping in the windows and stuff like that, which supposedly three different flocks flew into the house because of weird energy distortions of the house or something, and they try to make it seem like, I guess, the ship didn't or something. But let's get back to our guest, Thunder's here, and we got Jerry, and y'all are going outside right now to look at the sky with some night vision to try to find UFOs, right?
Yeah, and actually, as soon as we get done here, we're going to join the crowd. Pretty much they're on the tops of one of the buildings over here doing a sky watch with third generation night vision, and with our buddies Chuck and Dennis. The cool thing about Chuck and Dennis's setup is that everyone does have to pass around a couple of pairs of goggles. They have it set up to where you can view it through LCDs. So you know, they can find stuff, and then it's just pumped out to. And so they're doing that for everyone down here right now in Glendale. So that's going to be cool. We'll see if we can catch any cool footage from that. I believe the rest of the tech team is handling the recording of anything. And then when I get over there, I'll do whatever I can, too. And it's really cool stuff. I mean, for those who aren't familiar with the third-generation night vision optics, basically, it's pretty much almost guaranteed if you look up anywhere on this planet, you're going to see stuff that clearly isn't the satellite. But it's pretty much high up there like that. Really cool stuff that's going down here, and I'm sure that Chuck and Dennis will be doing more sky watches, you know, all over, really, because they do a lot in Northern California. We're working on some stuff down here in Southern California, and they're really down to go anywhere as long as they, you know, can afford it. So it's not like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. But
well, there's definitely been a craze with that night vision situation. I don't know if it's only been for a few years or recently, but a lot of people looking for UFOs with night vision goggles. I've seen some videos, some pretty weird stuff. So, I mean, they're saying it pretty much uncovers anything that's under stealth mode. And I mean, are there people that are saying that they've actually seen what they think is alien craft with the night vision goggles? Like, no doubt, like strange ships or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see stuff that, I mean, you'll see it moving around, things making stops, you know, shooting off in directions really quick, you know, faster than we're told that things are supposed to go. And it's common. And you can clearly see the difference between a helicopter, a plane, a bat, a bird. It's amazing actually seeing the nightlife actually flying around, you know, bats and stuff, but it's like, that's the point. You can actually see them. Then you can see the things that, once again, clearly aren't satellites because, oh, well, there's a satellite, and it didn't stop. Like, this one that just stopped and then shot off in the other direction. You know what I mean? That's like pretty good.
Like that here, you see the satellites go by, but when it's something funky, you know it for sure. No doubt about it, when it starts shooting off in another direction. I know a lot of times I see stars that are just moving through the sky. It's like a star, and it's just moving. Do you have any idea what that might be? Just like space debris, or what the hell is a moving star? I see those a lot.
Swamp gas.
Yeah, definitely swamp gas. But actually, Thunder, he's actually really good at picking out UFOs, you know, and I think that multidimensional view he's got gives him, you know, his own sort of, night vision in a sense. And I know he has, wasn't that kind of what you and Sean were talking about, one of the recent get-togethers? You guys were talking about hunting UFOs, right, Thunder?
Yeah, I consider myself a great UFO hunter. Hang out near vortex energy fields. That's a great place to go. You need portal in, portal out, so do the cosmic highway.
Yeah.
Integratron, Outlanders, California is probably my favorite place to go out with vision and laser goggles and some heavy duty lasers. I got some really there I've been playing with. So, what are the UFOs? Well, we can identify them. They're no longer unidentified. So we can also look at what's on the side of them. And in the print is the signature of who's operating the ship, which is kind of unique. It's like saying TWA or Air Force One on the side of your craft. If the drivetrain is done with a intelligence, you just simply sit in the chair and your thought pattern drives the ship, then that thought pattern will appear on the side of the ship in photographs. I've been able to actually identify craft who's driving it.
So you're saying, like, on a quantum mechanics type level, multidimensionality, there's some kind of energy signature on the ships or some kind of the most of any you know, ships like with Roswell or whatever, no matter what you believe, there was some kind of insignia on the craft or whatever, but you're basically saying that on some level you could see some type of identification on the craft of who it belongs to. And when you say who it belongs to, what do you mean by that? Like a particular race or alien corporation or what exactly?
Well, think of it like a fingerprint. Going to appear in the photograph in a frozen state in 2D. I also take a look at a lot of photographs to see if they're real or not. I'll give you a fine example. When I was looking for a better thermal insulation seal and Japan decided to jump into the space race, they rolled out a shuttle in Japan out of a hangar. So we took a look at that, hoping that maybe they had created a better insulation system. But in fact, it turned out to be nothing more than a styrofoam cup. It was a mug. Painted up.
A styrofoam cup?
it was styrofoam, right. Styrofoam. So we can actually identify what the substance is by identifying where it is in 2D state, frozen in time. Ta-da! That's what a photograph is. Where I'm from, our native lore is don't get your photograph taken because it captures your soul. We didn't like the photographs in the early 20s when they were bringing them out to the reservation wanting to take pictures of the Indians. It was very disturbing for them to see that in 2D.
So it was because they thought it would take your soul, right?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how they, related it. Look at it. Captured you. Oh, it has your soul. Oh, stay away from them things. Well, in a way, they're right. And that's simply what we're talking about here. We analyze the craft, and then we look at the side of it. We take just a small, tiny pixel, and then enlarge it 3.5 million times. We can actually see the movement of that monatomic particle and be able to identify its element. But then the cool thing about UFOs is that the thought pattern of that species, I guess, or occupant, I like to say, is going to appear on the side of the ship because it's neuron-driven to the alloy.
Yeah.
It's like having your picture on the side of your car when you're driving. Your fingerprint.
Well, I mean,
not your picture.
Yeah, I mean, a picture's going to take some of your energy. I mean, obviously, you're on it, but I can understand that on some level. It's got to, you know, it's a picture of ourselves. It's got to, you know, it's us. It's got to, you know, take some of our energy with it. I don't know about our soul. yeah.
Oddly enough, my ancestors were right. You see, what we can, I really don't like a lot of photographs of me. The ones that really are out there of me, well, they have a slight alteration over top of them. Because I don't know what I can do with digital photograph. I really don't want someone doing it tonight. What I mean by that?
We use it in our digital DigiMed hospital system. And the way DigiMed works, and there's another guy who passed away last year, in his work with quantum. I've decided, because he did pass away, I waited patiently to, in the event something ever happened to him, I'd open up and continue his research. Why? Because I reverse engineered it to bring it into his company. And sat down with him one day and was happy to meet with him. Oh. So, if we look at what we can do to the photograph, then we're now understanding in a multidimensional state how we can move and transfer energy. So, Helidium Labs is kind of like, we're kind of like Microsoft and Enron. Minus the idiot executives, of course. on both sides. Maybe I won. And what we are is software energy. We can move matter and change matter off a digital photograph via text message to your phone. So we're taking the essence of one piece of matter and transducing it into a digital vibrational state, which is our text message or our physical device, and carry that energy with. So when it comes within 8 inches, ta-da. The zero-point system, which is a 2D, 4D, 3D, think of it like a vortex tornado, is our drive truck, is our power source. It was the greatest power source. Zero-point energy that can manipulate matter. I used holographic because I could put 10 terabytes of information on a square inch. I couldn't get that in mainframes back in the late 90s. So, became size compatible, effective. I knew I was on to something.
And that, when did you first, you prototype these quantum insignia first that were on the pictures? I mean, when did you have the realization that it would actually work? Or what was the first
nicotine where it almost killed me?
Oh, the nicotine one. Okay, yeah.
And nicotine almost wiped me out. But after that, the automobile, of course. I was driving from Moreno Valley, California, to Newport Beach. And as you go through Riverside, California, it's the armpit of the world as far as pollution. You got all of L.A. just sits right there in Riverside. As I'm driving down the hill, I'm looking at all this smog, and I thought, well, hey, there's an antitoxin, pollution. Now, how do you fix that? Quantum mechanics using vibrational frequencies. Well, HARP could do it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We could change the phase. We could change the phase of the atmosphere, pollution. But
Otherwise, the other way to do it is our process. And so, if we just change the gasoline, the petroleum, that was the key common denominator. That was my target. Didn't matter what make, model, if it's a lawnmower or a tugboat, 18-wheeler, or a, it didn't matter. They all use gasoline. The end byproduct was pollution. So we look for the common denominator and then go to work there.
Yeah. Nice.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Are you guys still on the rooftop?
Actually, we're not walking out there because he's on the landline. I'm on cell phone, kind of stable. We figure we'll be connected with you here. But just kind of backtracking a little bit with Thunder was saying about the fuel. That's one of the things that it's been fun for me, seeing this work. I mean, and it's kind of fun going up. You know, you make amazing friends. You tell them, like, hey, you interested in maybe taking some gas? Like, I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And it's like, why don't you go more beyond that? Why don't you see a sticker change, you know, reality? You know, that's when it gets fun, man. And you see this, or even just the wallpaper, and you see the water come from the tailpipe, you see the RPMs go down right away, you know, stuff like that. So it's really cool. I mean, it's one thing how people ask, like, well, how do you know it works? It's like, well, you can know it works, like, sometimes within seconds. So it's really neat. So I think anyone out there who's really interested in frequency, science, scalar applications, things like that, you should be eating this up and using it as inspiration, because it's like, yep, guess what? Threshold has been broken publicly. Here we are. Welcome to the new world, and we're here to introduce it to you, and it's not going to involve stupid bankers who are in charge now. It's like, you know, abundance, fun stuff, clean air. You know, it's like, here we are. We have it. It's good to go. So it is a lot of time to celebrate in a way.
Definitely. And so, I mean, as far as when you do your conference situations at conferences, like when you do your seminars and stuff, do you do some of the examples on stage in front of everybody and have pretty good results? Or you pretty much just demonstrate it right on stage, right?
Well, it's kind of, unless we're having an outside venue, it's hard. But we do ask them to go right out to the parking lot in most cases after I either do speak we just line them up at a certain time to meet. A lot of them, you know, they want to meet me at smog shops, you know, so they really want to see. But you can, you know what's cool? You can go to our Helidium Labs channel on YouTube, and there's some great examples of our technology that we shot. And all we're doing is we're showing how simple it is to see a result by going and buying pieces at equipment for under $50 at Home Depot. The thermal laser gun, they're like $50. Sensor, those things are like, that's not a super advanced piece of equipment, but the cool thing is it's about $40, and it shows if your phone is giving off radiation or not. That's kind of, okay, let's start with that. So we just shot that film, and it's kind of interesting to watch because, you know, when the gentleman, and by the way, these are nothing I ever shot. These are just fans that have sent us video. And he said, you know, it was interesting when we took the cell phone off the wallpaper, how high the EMF radiation was. Then he put it back on, and of course it went back to zero where it belongs. So we chose the cell phone as mankind's, really potentially, our largest cause of brain cancer, imbalance our ecological system with the honeybees. We could have a... But The solution, if I'm wrong, hey, these things may not cause cancer. You know what? Don't worry about it. Good luck to you. I'm just not doing anything that, you know, this is all make-believe, okay? But I feel that my product at $40 is cheaper than cancer. That's a pretty good bargain. Now, if
is there anybody's
cell phone? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to ask, is there anybody else that's tried to do something similar to yours, or you pretty much have the corner patent on this type of technology?
Patents, yeah. No, not going to happen. Don't know how to patent fire, and been doing this 10 years. Haven't found anyone. Okay, look, it's like this. I like to coin myself as the Eddie Van Halen of quantum mechanics. Anybody can play guitar, but just not quite like Eddie Van Halen. And so I text messaging, let's see, yeah, multidimensional vortex. It's a pretty small niche crowd of people on the planet. I think I would have maybe 6 degrees of separation, even including, I would have heard about it. No, there is none.
Yeah, not, I mean, to understand it, a lot, you got to be pretty familiar with quantum mechanics. I mean, not a whole lot. I have one book on quantum mechanics. It's Quantum Affirmations by Monty Farber, and I definitely see where you're coming from on a lot of it. But as far as what do you say to someone that, a naysayer, someone that, do they have to believe for it to work or it's going to work anyway? Is there what would you say to a skeptic? Like, I had some comments in the chat room, like, nonsense.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like
I've gotten that before. And that's why we sat down and had Independent Labs, which I posted handsomely on our website. I went to an event here a couple weeks ago, and this guy was telling me about a patented technology that he has on his cell phone to reduce EMF. And that, if it was okay, he'd like to hold the questions till the end of the lecture. I'm a very patient man.
Yeah.
At the end of the lecture, I raised my hand. He said, I'll answer your question downstairs by my booth, and took off running. I walked down to his booth, and I said, can I see your SARS report, please? He said, it's on the website. Okay, great. Pull my cell phone up, because, you know, we live in a digital environment. I'm able to see what his website is, and view his SARS report. And he was, okay, where would I find labs? Okay, here it is. Okay, thanks. It was very polite up until the point where I go, well, wow! You have all of these labs that you, man, you spent a lot there doing testing. Holy cow. Actually, I thought maybe I'd met somebody that I should maybe either consider doing a joint venture with, or I don't know what to do here. This is, wow, this guy is got a heck of, so when I go to click the lab, I say, oh, wow, you went to this lab? Ah, I did too. Okay, great. Let's see how you did at this place. Same location, and I realized then there's nothing to open up it when I clicked the. He just had a list of labs written on his website. I said, "Well, how can I see the lab?" He says, "I have to email that to you." I said, "Well, okay, thanks." I checked with your lab. They told me that your SAR report was a 2. My. No wonder you didn't post it. And so I don't look at patents as, you know why patents are a big problem? If you're really a great scientist and you make discovery, don't tell foreign nationals or other countries how to do it by filing a U.S. patent. Probably the most viewed website out of America in the country of China would be our patent office. That's a good idea. Look at this one.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from with that. I've heard a lot of stories of people doing patents, and the next thing you know, they steal it from you. There's one online.
If you want to sell,
rip-offs.
If you want to sell your company, get a patent. We're a private company. I'll keep the research and the science in-house. I have an amazing child. She's coming through her first year of college. She's 15. I like to refer to her as my mini-me. and she's just amazing. And so between our work and we feel that over the next even 3 years, she'll finish her book by the end of this year, Stuck on Solutions, an advanced look from my daughter's point of view of quantum mechanics. You know, it sets the precedence of where this company's going.
So what's next on your agenda as far as the company and everything? Is there the movies or are there some other things you're working on?
Halidium Labs has several divisions. We have Halidium Mining, which is very unique. I'm looking for the very right opportunity to play with that one, and really the only place that I want to focus that one is on a particular island that we have located, because it makes more sense using our technology there by not disrupting conditions on the soil or the land. We're not strip mining. What's weird about gold, that it doesn't get along with a lot of other metals. It likes to go away from metal. So mankind builds these giant earth movers and you know, cranes and that, and they're digging for gold. Well, they don't realize that the gold is going farther away into the soil to get it. That's what gold does. And so we've utilizing my background in satellite, we've been able to triangulate a particular area that we're looking at mining, and then I can analyze to tell what the element is. It kind of gives me a better idea where to dig that hole. But we're not going to dig the hole. No. We're going to use ground-penetrating radar and attach anti-frequency of gold and gold on top of it that actually press and triangulate the gold right out of the ground into our waning buckets. Extraction of gold or any other elements on the planet without disrupting the natural surroundings. Another division is our DigiMeds Hospital, which we actually create a tincture of your cell, of your replicate of your DNA. And we quarantine that from quantum tunneling so that we can analyze frequencies on it to determine a 100% match. I live in a 100% or a zero on-off light switch world. It either is or is not. I also have only two rules in my life. One, always be positive, and two, never be negative. Makes everything else easier. Once we have the positive effect that we've analyzed the frequency on the tincture, then we abort it, or, you know, get rid of it. It's just a small cell, like sperm, in a cup. But we've identified it as the frequency necessary to repair and fix the DNA. And we send that prescription directly to you via text message, and you hold it next to water within 8 inches. The resident vibration frequency then carries into the water and attaches itself. It's kind of like a memory stick. That's what water is. It's a good carrier of information. The information data then is induced into the body, where the intrinsic data takes over the water. And in that 3D of water to what we are, 4D water, the conversion takes place, and the intrinsic data is shot to the neuron of the brain. Information tells matter how to behave. Quantum mechanics 101, information tells matter what to do. Okay? So the neurons are released into the body. It attaches itself into stem cells.
stem cells actually repair your body? Answer is a rogue stem cell.
How do we know?
Both of them live after you die. So the stem cells of the body have to be told what to do. If they don't know, they become cancerous. So we use the stem cell to carry an adaptogen to where it is necessary in the body or the DNA structure. The adaptogen is kind of like a brick wall that's got a brick missing. So we stuff it with newspaper so that you know there's no hole in the brick. Now, that's what the adaptogen is. But in the body, the cell then, the stem cells come along and chip away the patch, so to speak, and the body cell then absorbs around it and rejuvenates, correcting the problem. It's not being misdiagnosed and possibly misprescribed, which is a nightmare for some people. Imagine getting a bad medicine.
Yeah. It's definitely, is that what the films are supposed to do too? Is heal cancer and things like that, or diabetes?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the
legalities
on that one is. It, you know, it's kind of cool. They don't have an FDA issue. That's what's neat. You see, I have an FCC issue. And our attorneys assure us that text messaging is legal in every country of the world. So I don't have my therapy, so to speak, programs water via a cell phone, which is not necessarily needed to be an FDA-approved device. Oh, and yeah, there's nothing going in your body. Oh, and what isn't going in your body is the harmful EMF radiation. And so we're using the cell phone to build the platform. Now, the platform's set because that's the delivery system. So we have to start by neutralizing the EMFs. So we release that one first. Oh, it also comes with a battery sticker. This one's the biggest complaint, okay, if cancer is not, or EMF radiation is not a problem, don't worry about it. But I got something that everyone is interested in, and that's cell phone battery absorption time and extension of battery to discharge. So you have about 2 hours on an iPhone to get charged. Well, we have a hologram that we place onto your phone. It comes with a serial number. The serial number then is entered in, and your text message comes in, which covers your EMF block. But the serial number hologram that you place near the battery, what it does, it starts to go to work, and your TR time is cut down to about 55 minutes to maybe an hour five, a half. And then your three-hour lifetime is about five and a half, depending on the condition size of the battery, and, of course, it's lithium-ion component. We changed the phase of the lithium-ion and got an amazing extension, which was kind of cool, and we utilize that in our breaker box system. And how that works, you place a hologram device and then shut the door on your breaker box. The breaker box then, across the bus bars, changes the phase of the copper wiring to rhodium silver. Yeah, that'd be too expensive to do your home in, so that's why we affordably use copper. Well, what I've done is I've taken the existing copper and gave it the phase impedance delivery of electricity as if it was silver rhodium. Now it takes out all the transients in your house. It reduces your EMF. Here's what's, when it reduces your spikes and your transients, it reduces your electrical need and consumption. And here's how you test that. Well, you get last month's bill, shut the door, and look at next month's bill. Yeah, it takes 30 days to get that reading. I understand that. There's a faster way. There's a device you can order online. It's like $200. You plug it in the wall. It tells how much energy is being moved to that appliance. So let's say you have your big screen TV, and you're watching the Super Bowl. And Miss High Maintenance is in the bathroom. She turns on the blow dryer. Of course, what happens? The TV kind of shrinks for a second. Well, we duplicate that on the bench by taking a 9-volt battery and two resistors. And we look into your test, the 9-volt battery isn't even producing 9 volts. And our two resistors, we drop them across load and measure, we see 17.3 volts, drops down to, I don't know, 2.5, 3.5, and then steadies out at around 8. Well, my question is, where did that 17 volts come from out of a 9-volt battery? It's, and the difference between the multimeter and the meter on the side of your house, nothing. So you're overcharged every time there's a change in your electrical circuit in your home. The surge, you pay for it. Well, but you didn't use it. Hey, you pay for it. Well, what we do is we eliminate all the surges, so immediately your electric bills are going to be reduced. Of course, you don't have any EMF radiation coming off. And we can even add a couple, make your home, we make the copper line in your home all of a sudden becomes a healing system. Isn't that cool? And so, there's no sky. Space is the limit on this one, and it's a multiverse. Michael Talbert wrote a book called The Holographic Universe. Yeah. Well, it's good work, and it was early inspiration for me in the 80s, but Michael only had it half right, because we do not live in a universe. We live in a multiverse. I concur with Jim Calkin. There's about 91. I've been busy out there, going through a lot of them. So, the holographic multiverse now is a photonic, which is a particle that is moving with an energy source. We use Ormus. And if you're not on Ormus, get on it. Ormus was manna in the Bible, referred to as the Philosopher's Stone, spelled O-R-M-U-S, orbitally rearranged monatomic substance, white gold. Get it in liquid. It's probably the best way to find it. It's very expensive. A lot of people don't use it. I found it to be the greatest substance and perhaps the greatest scientific discovery of mankind. If we learn 10% of what Ormus is, it's a superconductor in M state, which I utilize in my quantum field of quantum tunneling. Ormus is the conductivity necessary between light and matter, so I can store information between light and matter. Information tells matter what to do. So that was the biggest discovery in my life after I created the first hologram for pollution. It caught the attention of a truck driver when he heard me on Coast. Sat down and bought me lunch at a truck stop because he wanted to try our chips out. And he hands me a bottle of $80 water. Said, you know, I don't know what you do at your lab, but if you could analyze this, I think you're looking at some pretty interesting healing things. Say, oh, what is it? It's water. Okay, I'll take a look. Here's another blessed water or a holy, I don't know what it is. I don't know what this is, vortex structure and probably with reverse osmosis. I've heard it all. I've looked at every water state, and I got my own opinion there. We're fourth-dimensional water, so we have to. I don't look at the chemistry world. Let me say this. Chemist to me is a Fred Flintstone. I'm more like a George Jetson. We don't get along. I'm more like Kazoo. I'm bringing, you know, the Flintstones to reality. I'm not really George. I'm more like Kazoo. That conduit. Yeah.
Me, George Jetson.
He's got a boy, Elroy. Elroy. What a cool name.
I know. Where's Jerry? Did he get sucked up by a ship? Is he still there?
Gets dropped off to school out of a briefcase. you realize Barney and Fred were pushing logs with their feet?
Yeah,
that's what I say to Will Chemist. Yeah, you're a Flintstone. You live in a 1D elemental world, and you know what? Your element chart's wrong. I took a frequency on every element, and I coded it out. And it's beautiful. It's a wonderful spiral. It coincides with vortex-based mathematics, my good friend Marco Rodin. In fact, when you look at the element chart, it looks like a parallelogram or something on a TV. It's with rabbit ears. Let's put these guys up here on the top. Just start running across like a typewriter. We don't know what we're doing. Hey, guess what? Science is always progressing. So my stuff isn't really much more than, hey, the world's round. What? We thought it was flat. No. Hey, Columbus came back. I should know. He ran into my ancestors. We told you it was 3D.
What is your tribe exactly? Someone was asking.
I'm Midwest Native American. I was born in Sioux City, Iowa. Our reservation is out of Minneapolis, or out of Minnesota. It's a proud heritage, but I look at my benefits that I had for opportunity. I really overlooked in this world. You got a third world nation inside the borders of the United States in its own sovereign status that doesn't have import or tariffs. And a lot of mandates are poised by and passed by Congress to offer Native Americans by Indian Act. If it's manufactured on a Indian reservation, the government, and within 10%, I believe, of the existing use good or service, it's a mandate they must use the Native American product. Well, how many manufacturing places are there on reservations? It's the biggest virgin untapped market in the world. And that's where Helidium Labs is located. We're on Native American Indian reservations. That's where we do our manufacturing. That's where we conduct our business. Oh, and if I may, my partner, Dr. Jim Stewart, he's a PhD nuclear physicist from Yale. He co-founded the Earth Day LA, something as an environmentalist. And, April 22nd is just the best day of the year. It's my birthday. It is my birthday. We founded Helidium Labs about a year ago, and less than, I don't know, seven weeks ago, we really went at the Conscious Life Expo at L.A. Hilton. And now we're working with NFL teams, working in 3 continents, promising future. We're private labeling our business model with companies. What's unique about what I've done is for every private label, because again, we are a manufacturer, we're looking at 8 private labels. I then have 8 nonprofits. For every one I sell, I donate a technology to a nonprofit. This way, I can expedite my cause and my goal. See, I want to see my name in the history book next to the word pollution. It's my goal. And some people thought I could pull it off in 50 years. I sat down and said, I can do it in 5 minutes.
You never know.
We now have the availability. And I think the day that I'm
I know we just talked about this here a couple of days ago. I did a show in Laguna with their Green Expo public access group. They were interested in what we were doing with our smog technology. And isn't there, I go, hey, let's just 5 minutes to solve pollution. We can literally, my target date, I think, is maybe, you know what, how about the 4th of July? Wouldn't that be great? It's a couple months away. We got plenty of time to set this stage properly. I like a real, yeah. I like a real cool rollout. And if you know, go to my website at HalladiumLabs.com. You'll see what I mean. It might take a while to load up, and hey, it's worth the wait. And that's a fine example of what I'm doing. I want people to go to our stuff and Fortune 500 companies and go, wow, our website doesn't do that. That's really cool. Huh, these guys designed their company and their website with relays. We don't have a bunch of, you know, our .org has all of our case studies. That's where you can find our PowerPoint presentation, our lab results, and an explanation of what our science is in our best layman's term. It's kind of hard to take quantum mechanics down to a third grader, but I do my best.
Yeah.
That's why I'm able
to a lot of people aren't familiar with quantum mechanics. I mean, it's about, you know, different dimensions, and, you know, it's a whole new program as far as science is concerned. I mean, a nuclear physicist, and, you know, it's a lot to, you know, it's not going to all sink in just the first time. You got to do a lot of studying to, you know, understand that. Even I mean, I know the basics, and there's no way I would do a seminar or preach it to anyone. I'd look like a fool. But there's a lot to it, and, you know, I've learned a little bit about it, but compared to you, I don't know jack crap about it. But I guess we're getting down to the end of the show, and I want to get all your links out, and then we can end this bad boy, because I've had a long day, and saw my daughter today, and she's 3 and wild, and I the ethers are calling me. So if you could, Thunder, give us all your links, and we'll...
Awesome. One of our patent label companies is offering taking our Fringe, like the TV show, Fringe Energy, FringeEnergy, .com, Fringe Energy, is offering the half-price sale tonight, I think, on the EMF battery boost. You can look at Halladium Labs, HOLIDIM, labs.com, .net, .org, and, of course, YouTube. Jerry collected a bunch of fans that put in and sent in different videos, and got that started here just a couple of days ago. We have our interviews and our TV shows, stuff like that.
Groovy. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. It's a pleasure to have you on, Thunder, and y'all enjoy y'all's convention, and hopefully y'all see some weird stuff with the night vision goggles. I'd like to try that someday, but night vision goggles are not cheap. But I'll have to check out the videos. I know a lot of people record that stuff. But appreciate you being on the show. Yeah, definitely. I want to check out some videos of that. I'm not going to say I'll never be able to afford night vision goggles, because that's not a very good information, but...
I know what to get you for Christmas this year. Awesome.
Hey. Yeah, that'd be nice. Hey. But keep me in mind. And my birthday's the day after, so that'd be a gift that it wouldn't be bad, like a sock one day and a sock the next. I'd be like, you could easily say this is for your birthday and Christmas, and I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, hey, wait, Christmas is too far away, I'm sorry. But we'll do it for Cinco de Mayo.
All right, brother.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and y'all have a good weekend, and I'll be in touch with y'all. Take care, man. Good night.
Bye. Thanks.
The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
Safe, you know, living room watching TV, you know, they're not that comfortable and safe, because if they go outside, maybe to the house next door, you know, there's something in the basement, or maybe their kid's elementary school teacher, you know, has conjured something in her house with a Ouija board when she was just playing around one night. You know, all stuff happens right next door to people all the time, and they don't know it. The two kids who stayed the night also got killed, and the parents found out that their children were dead. The next morning when they called, the house because you had to go through an operator. Hello, Mabel, give me this house.
Yeah.
Can't, because everybody there was murdered last night. Maybe all of the people that die of natural causes in their home, you know, something that the doctors can't explain. Maybe they let these black-eyed kids in their house. At first it was in the periphery of his vision, and then, you know, it got closer to the center and closer, and finally he could see it dead on. And one day the thing pulled its hood back and he could see its face.
Oh boy.
Damn, man, that's a lot of interesting stuff that's happening right here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
What is going on, my friends? This is Tim Banal of banalofamerica.com with another edition of BOA Audio Season 5. Hope you all dug the Lost Cast series finale last week, especially folks who had not checked out our sister program. Stay tuned to BOA later on this summer for the spinoff of the Lost Cast, tentatively called the Popcast so far, which will feature Jeremy Vaney and I discussing pop culture and only pop culture throughout the summer on a limited 13-episode run. I got a couple of in-house notes I need to take care of before we get into this week's program. First of all, I know a lot of folks have been waiting for the announcement about the BOA P.O. Box. I'm happy to report that we have a P.O. Box for BOA. For all those folks who want to make donations but do not trust the internet, don't want to put out their information online, you can send us your donations via snail mail now. I'll have all the information on that for you at the end of the program, so stick around for that if you are interested in making a snail mail donation. Secondly, it's been a long time coming, but we are very, very close to finally launching BOA 2.0 as the official homepage for BOA. Hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, if not by Tuesday afternoon or so, we will have BOA 2.0 up and running as the main page for